You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Join our regular team and maybe a few special guests as they give you the lowdown on movies, TV shows, games, or just whatever they want to talk about. It's the best of geek from week to week, live on Twitch and direct in your ears via the podcast.
Kids, get the popcorn now. Let me tell you the story of the space Viking, Thor Odinson. He was no ordinary man. He was a god. After saving planet Earth for the 500th time, Thor set off on a new journey. Well, he got in shape. He went from dad bod to god bod. And after all that,
Mjolnir,
he reclaimed his title as the one and only Thor. Oh, spoke too soon.
Jane?
The old ex-girlfriend.
What's it been like?
3, 4 years?
8 years, 7 months and 6 days, give or take.
Am I sensing feelings?
Well, you're right.
The only ones who gods care about is themselves.
So this is my vow.
All gods will die.
I just want to say that was very, very impressive what you did back there.
It's just my first bad guy.
You never forget your first.
You are not like the other gods of Kill.
You have something worth fighting for.
Let's see who you are. I take off your disguise.
And flick!
Oh.
You flicked too hard, damn it!
Shall we help him? I mean, eventually. Grape.
Yeah! Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome!
You feel like you're really leaning in on awesome tonight. Like, awesome!
Awesome! I've been dying to talk about this movie for weeks, yeah. Literally.
Oh, no, you've had like 2 weeks of oh, man. Are you okay?
I didn't get invited to the premiere, Jill.
Yeah. I know. I didn't get invited. I got a ticket thrown at me after I entered the competition, but it doesn't matter. I was there.
Close enough. You're still there. You still got to see Taika.
I got the hat.
Fucking hell, you did. And now that I've seen it, I'm like, oh, yeah, Trucker Cap is really where we're at for this. Like,
yeah, yeah. And 80s movie spoofs out the wazoo.
So much spoof. I'm sorry.
Oh, dear.
And I'm regretting that decision right away. How are you, Pete? Are you okay, Pete?
I'm fine. Everything is fine.
Everything is awesome.
I'm feeling a little bit sensitive tonight because I had a fourth vaccine shot yesterday and it's just hitting a little bit different to the other ones, or I have COVID. I don't know.
God, it better not be COVID.
Oh, please don't be COVID.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to go with the logical explanation and say that it's the vaccine shots crossed with my existing asthma, but if I can't speak, that is why. And if I just smile and nod, that is why.
Okay. All right.
Well, I do have a rant to bring in spoilers, but I'll just see how much energy I have left by then.
I also have a rant.
Yeah. It might
probably
be like a
not
mini
the
rant.
Same. Yeah, it's not the same rant as your rant, but I have a rant.
I think we've all got some opinions about this one. And it's interesting seeing like the general kind of consensus of like pretty much everybody who I've seen has come back with a fairly kind of like, Trav, who at one point was put his hand up and said, oh, I'll come and talk about it. We didn't get back to him saying,
sorry, yeah. Travis, if you're watching.
Sorry, buddy. Been disorganized and it's been a day. But, he had the thing of, like, can't all be winners. And
sometimes I feel a bit that way. Anyway, let's sort of move on beyond that. So where are we at with our Thors? Do we love the other Thors?
I think the mighty Thor is Thorsome.
Totally Thorsome.
Gross.
I'm still deeply, deeply upset that we are now four Thor films into the Thor series and we still haven't fucking seen Beta Ray Bill. I'm really not cool with this.
His face was on the side of a building, Quinny. What more do you want?
okay, fair. Totally fair. And to those of you who are not aware who Beta Ray Bill is, the stupidest name in comics, he's a horse-faced alien who wore the whole Thor getup and was generally a bit of a badass. And it was one of those things where you're like, that's dumb. I like that.
Yeah.
So I've been waiting.
Which is kind of perfect for a Taika-led Thor movie. Like
exactly. Like for the last two films, it's been Taika Land, and Taika Land is a colourful, dumb. As I said in the ticker somewhere there, you know, it's all about the moron bisexual agenda.
Yeah.
Let's take something that is deeply serious and revered. We're going to use superheroes that are taken very seriously, and we're going to make them all dumb bisexual morons. Yeah. Vampires. We're going to make them all dumb bisexual morons. Pirates, dumb bisexual morons. So I'm looking forward to Taika Waititi having a go at pretty much anything and turning them all into dumb bisexual morons. I'd like him to do Australian politics. That'd be great.
Okay, I don't want to think about politicians that way.
No, but I'd love to see them be a little bit more dumb and bisexual. I think that'd be great.
I'm not sure that dumb is particularly the right word to use in this context, but taking your point for the bisexual moron theory.
Well, yes. Anyway, we've now got his continuation of the bisexual moron universe, which is Thor, Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
And, so what did we think of the first Thor?
I love Ragnarok. I rate it as highly as the first Avengers film. I think they're on par, and they have both been, like, my highest Marvel-rated films on this show.
Okay, sorry, Amy's checking me and that it's hot bisexual morons.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, so, yeah, my apologies.
Dumb and moron is the same word.
Yeah, yes, it is, you're right. And I realised that halfway through, but I was like, no, fuck it, I'm just going to double down on this shit. okay, so Ragnarok, big fan. So let's take a couple of steps back. Where are we at with Kenneth Branagh's Thor?
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
It cool. actually made me like the character because I hated the character from the comic books. So
fair, yeah.
It endeared Thor to me in that film. Yeah.
Right. Pete, Thor 1?
I mean, I was fairly Thor neutral until Ragnarok, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
See, I think that's it. Most people were kind of like, yeah, Thor, okay, cool, until Ragnarok. Like, I quite liked the first Thor. I think Kenneth Branagh did a really clever thing of finding the majesty in Thor and going, okay, let's treat this shit as Shakespeare. How do you make this work? You turn it into Shakespeare.
Yeah. Verily.
Yes. But good Shakespeare, not boring out Shakespeare. And then they did Thor the Dark World and oh well.
Yeah, no one talks about Dark World anymore.
But yeah, Ragnarok is obviously where things changed for our Thor.
Yes.
And how many times did you see Ragnarok in the cinemas?
4 times.
Impressive. Thor times.
Thor times. And that was still when 3D was a thing. I believe I saw them a couple of times in 3D.
Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive. Pete, what about you? How did you go with Ragnarok? A few times? Once? Twice?
I think I saw it just the one time.
Okay. Because I'm trying to... I think I saw it twice in the cinemas, and the first time I was just such a pleasant surprise because it was so goofy and weird and all over the place and colorful. And now we are at Thor Love and Thunder, which is I'm not even sure what number of the Marvel universe this is. 20 something.
I think it's time we stop counting, but
yeah. hot on the heels of Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness and mm-hmm. Spider-Man No Way Home and a whole bunch of Marvel TV. Here we go. We're in with more Taika, more Chris Hemsworth, and a whole bunch of other weird shit.
Yeah, I was just going to say, do you want to read a synopsis?
I was going to say, before I go to the synopsis, do you have anything to add? Okay.
No.
Okay, cool. All right. And let us hope and pray and see what happens if there is a musical accompaniment to this. I sincerely... Yeah!
Oh, wow!
Thor embarks on a journey unlike anything he's ever faced. A quest for inner peace. However, his retirement gets interrupted by Gore, the God Butcher, a galactic killer who seeks the extinction of the gods. To combat the threat, Thor enlists the help of King Valkyrie, Korg, and ex-girlfriend Jane Foster, who, to his surprise, inexplicably wields his magical hammer, meow, meow, meow. Together, they set out on a harrowing cosmic adventure to uncover the mystery of the God Butcher's vengeance. Thor, love, and thunder.
That mutated. But yeah. I wish you'd done it in a bad Greek accent.
Oh, no.
Thor, he embarks on the journey unlike anything else.
No.
A quest for inner peace.
Oh, Russell,
nobody should have done that.
Couple of eyes.
I mean, Rusty's not known for his accent work. I don't know why he did that.
Oh, man.
I mean, it was kind of offensive, really.
Yes.
Like, I mean, the thing is, and this is one of the,
no,
I
there's
guess,
no kinder about it, Pete. It's straight up offensive.
I kind of thought we were all aware that kind of doing accents for comedy when it is the actual accent of a real group, if you're white, is just no. Just hard no.
I apologize to everybody in the chat who's asking me to do my Russell Crowe impression. It would have come out as Russell Crowe from Gladiator, though.
Thor embarks on a journey unlike anything he's ever faced. I'm slightly Australian, but just very bassy. Yeah.
He didn't do a Greek accent for that.
No. He was a fucking Greek in that one. What was that?
Yeah.
With that? Oh, man.
Wait, was Maximus Greek or Italian?
Roman, so.
Oh, Italian. Oh.
Yeah, sorry. My bad.
It would have been Super Mario.
It's me, Maximus.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
Oh, dear. So,
okay, this movie.
There's a starting point.
This movie had so much going on and so much in the trailer that didn't actually make the cut. And I'm kind of a little tired about hearing about four-hour versions of movies that don't make it. I'm like, because the news this week was the original cut was 4 hours. I'm like, so is every other movie.
Yes.
Stop reporting about it because we're never going to get a four-hour film.
And what is interesting is some of the stuff that is now being reported as what was cut and why it was cut. And I was like, oh, that's a ballsy move. So one of the things that was announced, I think only like today, was three of the actors who were originally in it.
Mm-hmm.
So Lena Headey, Peter Dinklage, and Jeff Goldblum, all originally in it and cut. And and the reason why they were cut, because they were shit.
Ooh, well, I heard Lena Headey wants to throw hands in court about being cut.
Yeah. Well, because she apparently, this is all fucking Hollywood gossip stuff, but
yeah,
she got cut, therefore not in the film, and then said she wasn't going to pay her agent for the thing because, like, you're meant to give your percentage to her your agent, and she's like, I'm not paying you. And the agent's like, that's not how it works. But yeah, apparently Taika has. I mean, I saw the thing where Taika said those scenes were cut for a reason. They just weren't good.
Yeah, was like, there was a lot of stuff. I mean, we saw a lot of set shots of like Jane being lifted up after she, you know, forges the hammer again, and that got cut. And there's stuff in the trailer that got cut. Like, Yeah, exactly. That didn't make it in there. There's a lot that, yeah. But was I happy with what was in the movie? Not particularly.
Yeah. Okay, cards on the table then. Jill, tell us how you feel.
Oh, my God. The editing. That was my biggest gripe with this film, is that it felt like a rough cut, like a first pass. There was takes that were in there that I was a bit like, that's the one you chose to go with? Like, where's the role for safety? Where's the B film? Like,
yeah, yeah.
That was the take you chose. There were literal, like, frames that were mirrored for some reason, and it was obvious because there's a scene with the ship, the Aegir, that is mirrored because the text on the fucking boat's backwards. Nobody decided to fix it in post.
Oh, fuck, really?
Yeah. The opening scene with Christian Bale, he's confronting the god, and there's a frame where he's completely mirrored because he has a very pronounced race skin tag on the side of his nose that was on the other side of his face.
Oh, dear.
Just weird stuff. And it threw me out of the movie. And the just like a lot of stuff that didn't quite gel between scenes for me. Nothing didn't connect. And yeah, I found the edit really sloppy compared to a very polished Ragnarok.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen a lot of criticism backwards and forwards about, you know, the film, and the biggest one, and this is my criticism of it as well, is that it felt undisciplined. You know, that I saw an article that Taika was saying that there were plot points, like key plot points, that were basically made up in improv. And cool, let your actors improv, that's great. But to me, what it really felt like was one of those improv games where everybody on stage is having a really good time. And they're all bouncing off each other and they're having fun and they're doing stuff and it's all very, very cool and insular, yeah, but not necessarily allowing everybody else in on the joke. Yeah. And it feels like the way that I look at it is, you remember after Peter Jackson had done Lord of the Rings and, you know, was a massive international success all of a sudden?
Sure.
And then he went and did King Kong.
Okay.
And nobody told him no. So
right. They're like, oh, it's the genius. Let him do his work.
Exactly. And I feel like this is where Taika's at the moment, of people aren't saying to him, actually, dude, maybe stick to the script. Or
yeah,
actually, this is a bit fucking messy. Give it another go. You know, it felt very undisciplined and like it was lacking that really clear driver that said, no, stop there, yeah, go to the next scene.
That makes sense.
That's my take on it. I'm also completely happy to hear other people's takes. Pete, you seemed shocked when we talked about the editing.
Oh, no, it was harsh. That's it looks like a rough cut. It's harsh criticism.
That was my one gripe the whole movie. I just couldn't.
I mean, for a movie that's been several years in the making, it's like, ouch.
Yep, sorry.
Yeah. Though I actually have a friend who worked on it. And like, I'm not sure what capacity she works in, but, you know, she's been working on this and Shang-Chi and stuff like that. And she went and watched the film and said, I've watched the film. I worked on it. I don't know what the fuck had happened. Like, the whole thing, even to somebody who's been working on it for 2.5 years, is a bit of a fucking confusing mess. And I feel like there are so many moments in it that are fun.
Yeah.
But they don't necessarily make a huge amount of sense.
It's all well and good to let your cast have at it, but at the end of the day, as the director, it's your job to make it work.
Yeah.
How far do the fun moments carry us, do you think? Because the fun moments are super fun.
The fun moments are super fun and it's great, but for me it still just doesn't do enough to forgive the clunkiness of it.
And unevenness. Like, and there are things that I really enjoyed. Like Tari says, the screaming goats. Love the screaming goats. They're completely fucking stupid, and I dig them. That's very funny. But something like Gore, you know, who is your big thread that's running throughout the whole thing. And I thought he was a really good villain, but then there were scenes in there that I just went, that's a completely different character. Like, you know, there's a bit where he's kind of menacing the children.
Oh, yeah.
And suddenly he becomes a weird comedy character. And I'm like, what? Okay.
I didn't get comedy character vibes from him, but I would have liked to have seen him, you know, doing a bit more God slaying, which was all the stuff that was cut.
Apparently, yes. And there are so many things. I was like, he's a really interesting character, but we seem to be focusing a lot more on the sexual politics of a man and a woman and their hammers.
Look, I do like that the story focused on Thor and his journey. Like, they did do a good job of, like, following through on what the story arc was supposed to be. That, you know, he's lost after Endgame and now he's trying to find himself in the galaxy. And it's all about love and can Thor find love again? And they did it. I think they succeeded with that storyline.
I say I did appreciate how quickly Taika managed to move past the offensive travesty that was Fat Thor, because I was kind of low-key dreading this movie for what they were going to do with that. And I feel like you dealt with it in, like, possibly the least offensive way possible. I mean, the least offensive way possible probably would have just been to let Thor stay fat, stop making jokes about it, and just have him continue to be awesome. If you were going to insist on being like, well, he can't be fat anymore, then moving through it quite quickly without making too much comedy out of it, except for that one shot, which was still fairly offensive.
Yes, he's got a big gut. Great.
Yeah. Like, it was never funny. It was one of the things that I hated the most about Endgame after Black Widow. And I was really kind of dreading that there'd be like a big, you know, weight loss, get Thor back into shape sequence in the first third of the film. So when it was gone in the first couple of minutes, I was like, fine, dealt with that. That's gone.
Still
offended. But, you know, he had to deal with it because that's where Endgame left the character. I mean, he didn't have to deal with it. He could have just been like, here's Thor. He's back with his original Thor figure. Let's not talk about it.
Yeah.
That would have been less offensive as well. It could have been worse, I guess, for something that I was dreading so much.
It could have been worse if they'd made it more comedic.
Yeah.
I think if they'd, like, insinuated that he wouldn't have been acceptable if he stayed like that.
Yeah. And that to me leads to that first act, which I think is a very strange first act. I mean, I think a lot of it's very strange. but things like the whole Guardians of the Galaxy bit. Why were they there?
One of them had a speaking role and the rest were just there.
It felt so tacked on and so much like, oh, well, we have to do a bit with them because that's where we left him.
Yeah.
And I was like, I honestly, looking at the trailers, I was kind of hoping that this would be a film that they're around for a chunk of, and we got to see a lot more of the dynamic of Thor and the Guardians, but they were a borderline cameo. Like, okay, cool, great. Well, I'm glad we spent time and effort on them.
Glad we dropped the budget on having the actors in the film and put it into anything else.
Yeah, like, and sorry, there was a thing that, just to go back to Gore, because it came up in the chat, and something that bugged me a lot, is that his whole thing, okay, you know, he's this god killer and everything. What's his deal with kids? Like, we know that his
children.
Yeah, why did he kidnap the children? Why did he have to do that? But then why did he menace them when his whole thing is about the love of a child?
Yeah.
He was so corrupted by the evil sword by that point, I think. But, you know, I have some plot gripes that I can only talk about in spoilers.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a stretch.
Yeah. So Rob said, bring back the Guardians for the final act. Yes, do something. Make them a point as to why the fuck they were there.
Again, was there supposed to be a Guardians film before this film? Like, is this another, oops, we reshuffled. It doesn't make sense now.
Yeah, we'll I thought the joke for Guardians 3 was it was going to be called like the Asgardians. Guardians of the
Galaxy, yeah.
I don't know. But with the whole James Gunn drama and that got pushed, so I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, we get a Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special and then the next Guardians of the Galaxy film. So, I mean, they're fine. They're going to keep doing whatever they do. It just felt like a really weird and misuse of that asset. Yeah. And, like, that style as well. Like, if you're going to use them, use their style that goes along with it. Like, where was the music? Where was the James Gunn-ish stuff? Yeah.
Wasn't his movie.
I know, but, like, every time we've seen them, like, every time they've brought the Guardians in, there's been some kind of music thing. It's like, anyway. Okay, other characters that probably need talking about. Jodie Foster. Okay, you go to Valkyrie. Let's go to Valkyrie.
I love Val. And again, underutilized in this movie.
What happened to her in the third act?
Oh, my God. Too much Korg, not enough Val.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, when we get to the spoiler stuff, remind me to talk about Korg. Yeah, I mean, you've already seen one of my comments go past in the ticker, I'm pretty sure, but, you know.
Yeah. Love her, still just not enough for her to do except be a sidekick.
Where was her accent?
Because all over the place.
Good. Lots of different places. I don't really remember her accent from Ragnarok, but
she's just, you know, Asgardian British or like posh American, whatever they do.
It just, yeah, I was like, I have no idea where you're from or like you're Cockney occasionally. I'm not sure what's happening here. And I was disappointed because she's so fucking cool and got so little to do comparatively.
I know. Sif was back for two scenes.
Yes, thank you.
We got her comic outfit though. I was happy. And then for like a little bit at the end. And
I do like what the chat's saying. Let's have a fucking Val and Sif, you know, twofer film. Let them go on a fucking road movie adventure with each other. That'd be cool.
Yeah, but with the little dregs that we're getting of female-led superhero movies, like I'd love to see that get funded.
Yes.
we had to kill one of our core six teammates before they got a fucking solo film.
Yes. I mean, yes, you're correct.
Yeah.
Okay, well then let's just petition for that to become the new Disney Plus series.
Relegated to TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jane!
Jodie Foster!
Jane Fonda!
Things that I did laugh at.
The stupid jokes.
Yeah. Interesting. Pete, give us your hot take on Jodie for Fonda.
I will in 5 minutes when we're talking about spoilers.
Spoiler time.
My hot unspoilery take is that I love her and she's fun and cool and, you know, I wish we had more. Jill, you, I think, sent to an article about how Natalie Portman prepared for that role. And I think it's really impressive that she actually, you know, put on the muscle to kind of be What's the character's Mighty Thor? Is that
Mighty Thor?
Yeah. And as a short person, I love the description of how they had to build her a platform in order to walk next to Chris Hemsworth.
Like literally, the only CG she needed was her height adjusted. Those were her arms, and I'm like, yes, queen.
I did a short film once where I had to kiss somebody, and I had to stand on a pile of books to do the kissing because I am a short ass. Deeply, deeply embarrassing, especially when you're like, wow, you're really pretty. I'm now going to have to stand on some things to get close to you. Deeply emasculating, let me tell you. Anyway, moving on.
Short men problems.
I have no idea what you're talking about. So, I enjoyed her, though, once again, I thought tonally really all over the place, like sometimes going for really broad comedy.
Yeah.
And actually, she was the one I felt the most of that feeling of like, okay, we're all playing now.
Yes. See, I love when Jane does her version of being funny, which is like, just awkward and nerdy and like she's just like loving her what she's saying, but nobody else really gets it.
I love that
is Jane. But this just felt like, you know, oh, I've got to keep up with everybody else, and so now I'm gonna like do some quips, but they're not really landing. And it's like, is this Jane just being her funny quirky self, or is it her trying to like fit in with the heroes now? And it felt a little bit like fish out of water type of thing for her.
I feel like that was sort of deliberate, in that, you know, she was trying to find her place as you know, as Thor, and what her superhero persona would be. It's something that she didn't really know herself, so I kind of like the idea that she was trying to kind of figure that out in the nerdiest way possible, because I feel like if any of us got superpowers, that's exactly the process that we would end up going through.
Just
trying five different catchphrases a day. The thing that kind of sat worst with me, I suppose, was the moments where Thor is such a bimbo that like that he's completely unaware of his surroundings to a ridiculous degree, putting holes in roofs and that kind of thing. Like, that's just silly.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I think they were trying to come across as like, oh, you know, the bumbling gods. They think they're doing this good stuff, but really they're just destroying everything around them whilst they try to fix something else. And maybe that was like the reason for Gore wanting to go on his thing of like kill all the gods. But again, just didn't really translate with the editing.
And I feel like maybe in that longer version of the film there is a more of a through line that explains it, because like
there wasn't enough dichotomy between the two characters, between Thor and Mighty Thor being the heroes and Gore being the villain. Like, you never got to see a lot of the villainy. It was all just happening in the background.
And I mean, they did quite a good job of making him feel kind of like relatable, at least in that first scene. You're like, wow, gods are dicks. But what would
But religious zealots are also
a whole absolutely thing. Yes. And in that moment you're kind of like, oh, okay. But more of his arc and less being moustache twirling, I'm stealing your children, wahaha.
I had no sympathy at all for Gore from the very, very beginning. Like, he literally let his daughter die in the service of because he just wanted to serve his god to the end. That's dumb. Like, stop serving the god and live. Like, I had nothing for him.
Yeah, that was a change of story from his comic origin, because he did turn atheist in the story and then was like kicked out of his planet because, you know, they're a planet of religious zealots. So they're like, oh, you're atheist? Get out.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it didn't translate because he just told a story about how, you know, we worshipped you until the end and then my daughter died because we were worshipping you and now I want something. And I'm like, well, just like do something else and don't worship the god and like help your daughter instead of waiting for a god to help your daughter. Like, did not translate. Yeah. Like if he has a more complex backstory as a non-comics person, I got nothing of it.
Sorry, I want to raise a thing that Rob's brought up in the chat that I really do agree with. Mm. There's a character who gets a very short amount of screen time, and Darcy. We fucking love Darcy.
The entire chat is screaming about Darcy.
Yes.
More Darcy, please.
She's in it for probably 2 minutes total.
Yeah, like she's you know been a big player in WandaVision and everything like that. She gets literally a scene in this. And how good would it have been to see her reacting to Jane as Thor?
Yeah.
But we don't get that. We get, you know, that removed from us. And I'm like, oh, come on. They're the things that I think, like, really, because you need to see other people's reactions to things, you know. Yes. And Thor, like Hemsworth Thor, his reaction is, oh, my God, you're like me. But it's not like I'm impressed or anything. It's just I'm threatened. Whereas, or you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas if you see other people who are human going, hang the fuck on, Jane, Thor, this is amazing. It increases her kind of status. But as it was, I felt like that whole thing of her, this is my personal thing, I felt the whole thing with her kind of bumbling a bit and being too quick to go, like, she's a genius. And I felt like they undermined her genius and made her kind of weirdly stupid. And I was like,
yeah, they kind of made her the butt of the joke most of the time.
And I mean, I love that she's smarter and better at using Mjolnir than
What she can do with Mjolnir is so cool, especially like the smashed version, and she can like send out all the shards and then bring it back. Like,
super fucking cool.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the newest character, Stormbreaker, being fucking sentient and jealous? That is probably the thing that made me laugh the most.
Such a weird call.
So fucking weird. Oh my God.
Did you like Stormbreaker, Pete?
I mean, look, it was a joke. It was a running joke, and sure, the one particular, you know, shot where it kind of slowly comes in the side of the screen, like that's a nice visual gag.
Yeah,
I enjoyed the gags, but it was also kind of like, yeah, really. I also enjoyed the audio gags of the constant screaming goats. Like, that didn't really get to me. It like. Every time you throw in the scream, it sort of works.
As when just they crashed into the planet and just screamed.
Utterly ridiculous. And the absurdity of it, like, I really did enjoy. Like, I love that stuff. So,
I think those were the highlights for me. Like, the weird, absurd, silly, stupid stuff. Like, that was all fun.
Some of the action, like the fight scenes, like with the, you know, in the Forum of the Gods and that kind of thing, were cool to watch. Like, gold cool effects.
Blood going everywhere.
Oh, wait, can we talk about Omnipotent City? I'm sorry, we're going for like forever and ever, but like the animated bow god?
Yeah.
What movie am I watching?
Exactly. Tonally, where the fuck are we?
I mean, it was fantastic to just like pick out Easter eggs all throughout that thing, but like the animated dumpling god, I'm like, this is dumb.
Yeah. And I will shout out to my friend who is actually one of the gods in that scene.
Cool.
My friend who I went through uni with, Carmen Foon. She was the goddess Minerva.
And oh, I was like, holy awesome.
Shit, that's fucking sick. You're actually like, she
wasn't had some really cool armor. No, she had cool armor though.
Yeah, she did. So, yes. Like, but weird. There were so many other gods. And to be honest, I was desperately hoping we'd see Tarot in there somewhere.
Yeah, no Tuaret, but we got the big dragon from Tarlo. True. That was in there.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Lots of cool stuff. Anyway, like, go watch the new Rockstars Easter egg movie.
Video, it's a
sorry. Away. Yeah, it's 40 minutes long.
It's a fucking movie.
But yeah, go watch that.
But also, you know, that scene, amazing visually all over the place and fucking crazy, but also Rusty's accent and that whole fucking thing.
It was... I had other problems with it as well, like the effeminate acting. I'm like, what do you, I don't know.
Yeah.
The like coming down, the holding his little skirt. I'm like, I don't like what you're insinuating.
No. And the constant reference to the orgy. Like, I kind of had that brief moment after the film where I was like, what fucking age group is this aimed at?
Oh, it was a PG movie in the States.
Right.
So I don't know what that translates to here.
Yeah.
Oh, but Casper, yes, Daryl is now canon. Now movie canon. Daryl the roommate.
I introduced my partner to Daryl. Like from there are three shorts called Team Thor that introduced the concept of, and I love that that now means that there is actually a period of time where Thor lived on the Gold Coast.
Yes.
And was a shit flatmate to some poor fucker called Daryl.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah.
Can we also just give a quick mention to the very meta genius of having Luke Hemsworth play budget Thor?
Yeah. Reprising his role from Ragnarok with fucking Matt Damon. I loved their theater men like little cameo besides the play, but
and Sam Neill doing his best fucking life. I did enjoy that.
Have you guys seen the Moments. Old Spice commercial with Luke Hemsworth?
Yeah.
Oh god, that's funny. You guys in the chat, go and Google Luke Hemsworth or like Thor Old Spice commercial. It's friggin' funny. It's very clever.
I think
like it a lot, which reminds me that there's a new Westworld coming up, isn't there?
There are three episodes out already. But
do
this
we
is
need to spoil.
Yeah, do we have anything else to talk about?
Like I've just got okay. I think I'm not coughing at the moment, so it's kind of a good time for it.
Okay. Well, then let's do our ratings really quickly.
Okay.
And everybody in the chat, as per usual, if you've got a rating, and I'm sure you do, drop it in with a out of 100 afterwards, and that way you will go into the thing on the website so that you can affect the ratings as well. That's just how it works. But also that means I have to go through the whole fucking chat and copy and paste everyone's damn thing.
Yeah. I'm still going to stick with my 79. That was my initial rating. I think I'm going to stick with that because there were still like so many things that were just fun and dumb and enjoyable and made me laugh. Really, the problems didn't bring it down that much for me.
Okay.
I haven't gone to watch it a second time, which is telling, but I also haven't really had time. I wanted to watch it again before the show, but
Pete, you go because I'm still thinking about numbers.
Look, I'm going again with my reaction straight out of the cinema as well, rather than kind of overthink things that annoyed me about it to things that I liked about it. Just based on the enjoyment that I felt when I walked out of the cinema, I'm going to give it a 70. Like it's very entertaining film that is not, you know, it's not without issues, and it doesn't top or meet the enjoyment factor of Ragnarok for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, still entertaining enough. And I laughed a few times, which is nice.
Yeah. I think the thing we were just getting to saying, which I really kind of latched onto, was there are moments all the way through it that are very funny and great. And like there's moments of great action, there's moments of real pathos, there's moments of kind of soaring, joyful, yeah, this is great, but they are strung together with a lot of not good stuff.
A lot of duct tape and spit.
Yes, yeah. And like I love Taika Waititi's way of telling stories and stuff like that, but I do think that sometimes there is a little too much of the... just make it up as you go.
Very frenetic.
Mm. And there's a seriousness. There's a real craft that needs to be put into it to make it really solidly work. So for me, it's a 72, I think. It's good fun, and you'll laugh a lot, and you'll probably have a lot of enjoyment. But then afterwards, you'll probably go, yeah, and what about that? And what about that? And what about that? Mm. So, yeah. And it looks like the chat is also, you know, somewhere around there in a lot of cases. So good, 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 good. Excellent. Okay. Right. Well, we're going to have a clip now. Which one do we want to go to?
I personally like the Stormbreaker clip, which is the Jodie Foster, Jane Fonda one.
Excellent. Then we will go to that, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about it in spoilery detail. Thank you, Mr. Music.
So that's the ex-girlfriend, is it?
The old ex-girlfriend.
Jodie Foster.
Jane Foster.
The one that got away.
The one that got away.
That means escaped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Must be hard for you to see your ex-girlfriend and your ex-hammer hanging out and getting on so well. What you up to, bro?
Come to daddy.
Come on.
No, no. Hey, there you are. Hey. I was just calling you.
I don't think at any point Thor was actually really concerned about Jane being there. It was just seeing Mjolnir put back together and not in his hand. He is really hung up on that hammer, you guys.
Yeah, yeah. He's a bit like Captain Hammer in some ways.
Did it bug you guys at all that the reason Jane had Mjolnir isn't because Thor told Mjolnir to protect Jane?
Yep. Yep. Didn't
like
it.
That's very... Ick.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Icky. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It like, was.
It's supposed to be whomsoever be worthy.
Exactly.
Not, you know. Oh, let
not
Jane
men
use
need to
you.
Protect women.
Can you keep an eye on my girlfriend?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, let her have a go.
Yeah. It like way to fucking take away any and all agency from that character.
At times.
Yeah.
Right. We are in the spoiler section. If you haven't seen it and you are
very
worried about
heavily
it,
spoilery. Like yeah. This is a rant about the very end of
this. This is the hat's coming off, you guys. Like,
oh shit.
This fuck. Is it.
Okay, like... I'm taking my jumper off. There
been
we go.
Warned.
Yep, right. We're serious now.
Why do all these girls have to sacrifice themselves for the men?
Oh my god. Like, I'm sorry, after Black Widow and like, just Scarlet Witch, now we, like, get Mighty Thor for one movie and to save the world, she has to sacrifice herself.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
When she literally was sitting it out, Thor could have taken care of it. He could have had the love of a good woman and all of these kids that he's just empowered. But no, she has to get up off her fucking deathbed to fix the shit and then die.
Like, yeah. I'm sorry, the only male characters I can think of who have self-sacrificed would be Captain America at the end of the first movie, and they had always intended to bring him back. And then obviously Tony Stark, after he's had like five movies to himself. Like, seriously, like, it's a real problem. It's a real problem. And why is it not even that we don't get these characters for a long time, but that we lose them through the self-sacrifice of a woman?
Yeah.
Just always just giving of ourselves until the very end.
Until you have to die.
That's what we're good for.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to bend over backwards for a man ever.
Fair. Yeah. I got nothing to add here. Good point.
And as a side note to that, if, like, it's a small but why, But why, if Thor has the ability to imbue an army with his power, has that not happened like 5 movies ago?
Yeah.
Like, because that could have solved a lot of problems.
Yeah, probably could have solved a whole bunch of problems if he'd managed to imbue the Mighty Three, or the, what are they, the Warriors Three.
And I mean, they wouldn't have had to go talk to all of those other gods to make a god army, because he could have just made one.
Yeah, yeah.
They could have just got some randoms from the tourist park.
Yeah, everyone could have a rabbit with laser beam eyes.
Yep.
But anyway, I digress.
It was cool, and I did like the rabbit.
I digress. Back to Jane and my deep anger at the end of the film of, like, obviously we saw it coming, and my understanding is that Jane's cancer is a feature of the comics. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
In the comics, does she have to sacrifice herself to the cancer to save the world?
I don't believe she died, no.
No,
I don't know how they solved the issue of Mjolnir draining the chemotherapy from her body every time she wields it, though.
Yeah, so that's
I ever got to the end of the comic run, but But Thor was made,
so she's still not dead yet,
right? So what happened in the comics is, Nick Fury said to Thor, "Gore was right," and then Thor's like, oh, fuck, I'm not worthy of having Mjolnir. And he had let it go for a while. And then when Jane got sick, she became worthy of the hammer and took it up and became Mighty Thor. So Thor had, like, forfeited the hammer, and so therefore she was able to take it up.
Which, I mean, allows so much more kind of agency for her to say, I am worthy. This is a thing that, you know, was not kind of just given to me as a side thing or whatever. Like, this is the right reason, and I'm doing it to be a hero because there is a hero lacking. Whereas, I don't know, I felt like she didn't feel like she was a necessary thing.
I mean, I'm fine for Jane to come and save the day.
Yes.
That would have been awesome. Like, for her to come and save the day in an act of self-sacrifice that inevitably eventuates in her demise so that Thor can have something to be sad about is just a late-stage fridging, basically, and I'm not here for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, in that last act, we completely lose fucking Valkyrie. Like, completely. She... But she's also just, you know, she's been beaten up and has, you know, has injuries. But no.
Yeah, we're not thought just gonna, that she like, might show see up if in she's the, okay.
No, it has to be the Mighty Thor and she has to die. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I mentioned this to the male friend that I saw the movie with, like, as soon as I got out, I, like, seethed about it. And he was like, oh, but, you know, they needed to find a way to, you know, have her be the hero in the end. I'm like, women can be heroes without
dying,
fully sacrificing themselves to death.
She, like, literally was the hero throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, yeah. You know what would have been fucking ballsy and a really cool way of working on from this is if, you know, the Chris Hemsworth Thor was the one who actually divvied up his power amongst all of the kids and sacrifices himself. And then she comes in, kicks ass, and, you know.
Now we have Mighty Thor instead of Thor, and we have a whole series of Mighty Thor movies. The end.
Yes.
Yes.
And, you know, there's this ongoing tension where the more that she uses the power of Thor, the more that she's getting sick, but at the same time she is still powerful and cool and all that kind of stuff. There's interesting stories to be told there, but no. We go back to the watery plane of wateriness where people die.
Yeah.
I mean, the chat is very into this Mighty Thor franchise, so
Dion is asking for what's supposedly the final Hemsworth Thor. Was it a good send-off? Dion, Thor will return according to the end of the film,
and Taika didn't even know that was going to be put on the film.
I'm pretty sure Chris didn't even know.
No, they didn't. They both looked at each other and went, oh.
Yeah, sorry, Hemsworths are too bankable. You're coming back.
I would have been totally down for it if this was the end of the Hemsworth Thor. Mm. You know, if him going up against the God Butcher, I would have liked the God Butcher to have been a better villain. But if that had been, you know, the end of that, and we then continued on with the Mighty Thor, fuck yeah, all for it. But instead,
yeah,
no, we don't get that.
So that
can we
rant.
Talk about a yes. good spoiler?
Yes. Oh my God, yes, please do.
That our Ted Lasso favorite, Roy fucking Kent, Roy is Kent. Hercules?
Roy Kent, Roy Kent.
He's it. He's in the fucking way, including in the Marvel universe.
Yes.
Oh, fuck yes. Because when, you know, Hercules gets a name check early on in the film.
Yes.
And you're kind of like, oh, we're going to do Hercules, are we? Never in a million years would I have thought to cast fucking Roy Kent.
Oh, my God. And, like, the first thing that I said to you guys after I got out of the movie was, like, I only want you to see that first end credit scene. Like, that's all I need you guys to watch.
Yep. It's all we needed to watch.
Yeah.
What was the second one? I can't even remember. What.
When Jane made it to Valhalla.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Right.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I'm like, where are they going with this? Because there's been a lot of realms popping up as of late, like a lot of realms in movies and in the TV shows. Like, we've got the ancestral plane, we've got the Duat from Moon Knight, we've got the quantum realm, and there's like all these other little realms, the shadow realm, and Valhalla is a realm, so therefore, like, everybody there is probably there still alive ish
sort of, yeah. I mean, interesting yeah. concept. What I think has been interesting, and this is me going off on my Marvel fucking bullshit, is that this phase, whatever you want to call it, has been very much I guess it's all still phase four, has been about building scope and scale. Like, you know, we saw throughout the first three phases that it was, you know, building up to talking about a galaxy, a universe, and, you know, big monsters, and Thanos being the big bad. This phase has just been about, okay, well, you think that was big, that's fucking nothing. Like, in this film, you've got celestials just poking their heads in through the window to have a look. Gods everywhere. In Moon Knight, you get, as you say, the, what was it called? What was the name of the
word? The Duat.
Yeah. Everything is about expanding the size of it. Loki was about, okay, let's look at the entirety of history and the universe and the multiverse and all that kind of stuff. And everything's just been going fucking bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I feel like they're, I mean, at some point in time, it's got to come back down. Because we've just gotten to the point where everything is so big that, like, the scope of everything is so, I mean, it's cool. You know, you look at something like Eternals, where it's like, that was sort of the first hint at, like, we're talking about millions of years of time and the birth of planets and stuff like that. And this one is like, here's, look at all of the history of gods and everything. It's just, yeah. I find it interesting where they're trying to go. I'm just hoping that they haven't actually, by painting such a gigantic picture, accidentally painted themselves into a corner.
Yeah. And I just wonder how successful these movies are actually of bridging that scope. Because, I got to say, not a lot of people were fans of Doctor Strange, even though I really enjoyed that one.
I enjoyed it. I'm also aware that it's got its big problems, and but I still
and then fun so with is it. So is this one, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny, I rewatched No Way Home on the weekend. Fuck, that's a banger of a film. Like, it, because it gets emotion right. Like, you know, it hits the emotional points with the characters, and everybody has an arc that makes sense. Yes, unfortunately, they fridge Aunt May, which is fucked, but the rest of that film is just, you know, and because they don't understand the emotion of it. I don't think this one really understands the emotion of what it's doing. You kind of said before that it's the arc of Thor trying to find love.
Yeah. And I mean, I still kind of feel like he was successful, regardless of like who died and what happened in that movie. He still came to the conclusion at the end that, you know, he is surrounded by people that he cares for and care for him. And like, you know, by embracing what he has instead of looking for something to fill a hole, that he has got love. And like all of those children that he saved and, you know, Jane that he found and lost again. Yeah. And now they have like the actual epitome of love born from eternity. So, you know, like what's that going to bring to the multiverse now that we've got actual entities being formed?
Did the whole thing with love and thunder work for you?
I kind of went, aww, at the end. So, I don't know, my soft touch.
I don't know, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, sure. It was an ending. And it explained the title. That's always nice.
Mm. Yeah. I thought it was kind of cute.
It was, yeah, it was cute.
Mm. Yeah. I think
it was cute. I'd watch that. I'd watch that as a series. I'd watch that as like a 6x30 on Disney Plus.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. I it kind of worked for me, but also at the same time, I did feel like it was a weird kind of unearned thing. Like that we've brought, I mean, yes, we've brought the child back and now the child needs a parent. But I don't know, the fact that, I don't know, I guess we'd seen Thor interacting with kids throughout the rest of the film, so he was developing a parental side. I don't know, just felt weird to me. I was kind of like, oh,
you're his actual daughter.
Yeah. I know, which is like, okay, cool. Yeah. I don't think of Thor as particularly fatherly, but maybe uncle-y.
But that's kind of it. Like he kind of just bumbles his way through things. Like Thor's just always been about the fight, you know. And now he's like being cool Uncle Thor.
And we all want to be cool.
Making pan flaps.
With a cosmically powered child who could blow your face off if you're not
careful.
Who is in some way, shape, or form going to have daddy issues as she grows up.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. There we go. That is Thor, Love and Thunder. It's a film that is definitely a film.
Yeah, we unpacked it as much as we could.
I mean, there's probably a lot more to say. There's a lot of stuff about the visuals. There's a lot of stuff. I have seen people commenting on the music, saying that they loved that Guns N' Roses was almost a character unto itself.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I was like, yes, it's cool. But then also looking at that trailer at the start, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. It was all the way back there too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Yes. Okay, good. Missy's happy. We weren't too spoilery. Oh, shit. Thank you. Yes, I did have comments about Korg.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm like, when is too much Korg too much Korg?
At the beginning of this film, too much Korg was too much Korg. I was about done with Korg after the first 5 minutes of his narration. And, I mean, that's harsh, I know, but, like, I think we've, like, Taika's particular brand of quirky comedy, it's getting a little tired. And I wanted Korg to look, I liked it, but I wanted Korg to stay dead.
Oh. He didn't die though. His face stayed alive, and somehow that means the Krona doesn't die.
Like, I think it actually completely fucking undercut that scene, and it would have been a really great end point to the scene to have, you know, all this comedy and the naked butt and everything like that. And then at the end of it, Korg dies and you're like, oh shit, stakes have been raised.
Mm.
Nah, he's still the talking face.
Yeah.
And
the thing I found most annoying about that scene, like what they had decided was that they wanted the lightning bolt.
Yeah.
Thor gets the lightning bolt, throws it back at Zeus, and then they have to have a massive fight to get the lightning bolt. Like, just keep it. Like, you've got it. Just leave now.
And also, like, how do you kill Zeus with his own weapon? But then he didn't die.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I should have known that Korg wasn't going to die because he's the narrator, and that makes it very hard for you to kill him. But at the same time, yeah. He was a lovely gag and worked beautifully in Ragnarok. I don't know whether we needed him all the way through this film.
Yeah.
Okay. That's my my beliefs and theories on the Church of Korg, and also he had a very silly god.
I still like Korg.
The god sits on a throne of scissors because rock beats scissors. Like, how dumb can you get? It was fucking hilarious.
Didn't even pick up on the scissor gag. I looked at it and I went, why is he sitting on a throne of scissors?
This is a paper rock thing. It's a callback from Ragnarok as well.
Oh, yeah. Right, yes.
He's like, don't need to be afraid of me unless you're made of scissors.
I like that more. I'm warming to it slowly. Oh, dear. Okay.
Anyway.
Well, what are we doing next week? What are we talking about? Is it more Marvel?
What are we talking about next week? Is it Star Trek?
Is it? I've got to check. I'm sorry. I know that Dion's probably going to yell at us in the chat any second now, but.
I was waiting for. Oh, it's Ms. Marvel.
It is more Marvel.
Thank you, Dion. Ms. Marvel.
Right. So we are continuing the more Marvel. I thought it was more Marvel.
Yeah. This week is the final episode. So next week we will be discussing.
I really hope that people get on board with it.
Yes. I hope, chat, you've been watching.
Yeah. And if you haven't, now is your chance to get onto it. And no, we're not talking about fucking Minions.
Oh, my God. The internet phenomenon of gentlemen's going to watch Minions.
God, no. Yes, if you haven't watched any of Ms. Marvel, do get onto it. There's some fun stuff in there, and I'm really looking forward to talking about that. But also, I'm looking forward to not talking about Marvel for a while.
Yeah, that's all right. We don't have a movie coming out until, what, November?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow. Who knew that we were going to get tired of talking about Marvel stuff? How did we get here?
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. As always, please drop us a line, send us emails, send us voicemails. If you send us voicemails, we'd actually play it during the show. You could be heard as well as type on the chat.
Wow.
Yes, I know. I've been saying
what an honor.
And they never do it. See, back in the day, way back in the early days of podcasting, people did that all the time because it made them feel like they were a part of something. Now we have chat. And you are a part of something, chat, I say, looking at the chat over here.
We love you, chat.
We do love you, chat, all of you. How does one voicemail? Well, you would you would record it on your phone and then send it to info@theperiodictableoftoawesome.com.
I mean, to be fair, that wasn't clear. I think of a voicemail as if I call somebody and they don't answer the phone.
Correct.
And then I just hang up and send them a text.
My apologies. Yes. Sorry, back in the day we actually had voicemail lines, but no. Now, just send us an email with an audio recording of yourself in it, and we will play it because we can do that. Right. Okay. Well, thank you. You have been wonderful.
Stay awesome.
Yeah, all of you guys. And I know if everybody is currently, you know, potentially sick or getting sick or whatever, so please stay safe, look after yourselves, stay healthy.
Yep.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
God of Thunder.
King Yakan.
You have finally joined our fight.
Well, as they say, better late than not at all.
It is very nice. As you know, we used to live in a peaceful oasis, but then our gods were murdered.
Murdered?
And now our sacred temple has been left unguarded and Hufu's hordes to control of its power. It is our most sacred shrine, and he desecrates it.
Not for long. King Yakan, tell them what happened here today. Tell of the time that Thor, his ragtag motley crew, misfit desperados, turned the tide in the battle and etched their names in history. The odds may be against us, but I'll tell you this for free.
Here it comes.
This ends here and now!
Oh!
For listening to the Periodic Table podcast. If you have comments, feedback, questions, or suggestions, email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. From our website, you can find our Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook links, as well as ways to donate to the show if you're feeling generous. And of course, you can join in the show live on Tuesday and Friday nights on our Twitch channel. Until next time, stay awesome!